You are listening to a presentation of Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, go to streamschurch.org. And now, Pastor Lloyd Baker.
Now we're going to study in the book of Galatians. Every so often we like to go through a book of the Bible. We're going through the book of the Bible, and Galatians is all about grace. And it's a story that Paul is using about grace. He is passionate. He is intense. He's at times even aggressive when he writes. And he's taking on an opposition of a group that has walked into a church that he has shared grace with, and they've come in after the fact and said, wait a second, you're too free, it's too much fun, you can't just live by grace, you've got to live by the law a little bit, you got to have some rules and regulations. And so Paul is taking on, in a very aggressive way, these people. And we stated last week that it is grace, grace, grace. Everything we have, everything we will have, has everything to do about the favor of God. Undeserved favor of God. That's grace. So we're saved in the past of our offenses, our sins, by grace. We're being changed today. We're being made whole. We're being healed today by grace. And one day, we'll be saved into eternal life because of grace and grace alone. Nothing that we can do. So we have a theme scripture. It's been a theme scripture of mine for a long time. I'd like for us to say Galatians 2, 19 through 21 together as a group. Ready? For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. What a powerful scripture. So today we're going to look at a lot of scripture. Paul's defense. Galatians chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there. If you have your Bibles, your smartphones, your tablets, or you can look at the screen with your eyes. I think the point that we need to remember today as we see Paul's argument, and he's very aggressive, he gets very intense, is that every scripture, we believe, is breathed by the Holy Spirit. So as we read this, we need to understand that even though Paul's showing his intensity, this is the same intensity that God has in protecting grace, that is being breathed by the Holy Spirit. God feels exactly the same way that Paul feels, that men are coming in and corrupting the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And imagine all of history has led up to this very moment. Your son gives up heaven, goes to earth, lives this life, dies a horrendous death for the sins of mankind, and now men dare to declare to a church that wasn't quite enough. The plan wasn't good enough. Jesus didn't quite do it all. You'd be upset too if that was your son. And that's the way God feels, and that's what we see in Paul. So chapter 3, here we go. We're going to read through all of chapter 3, part of chapter 4. You guys ready for this? Speed reading. No. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I don't know if you've ever felt that type of frustrations. What is wrong with you? You ever seen somebody doing it in life? You're like, what is wrong with you? Are you under a spell? I mean, did somebody confuse you? The word foolish actually can be translated, you stupid Galatians. What happened? Are you crazy? It's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. I was there with you. I literally walked you through this step by step. I gave you every ingredient there was to this recipe. I wrote out the directions line by line. Do you remember how great it felt? Don't you remember how powerful it was? How it set you free when you understood grace? How much freedom you had? And now, why in the world would you choose another path? I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Has somebody cast a spell on you? Because I remember when I was there, and I remember you got it, and now something has happened. Are you nuts? That's what Paul is saying. That's how he's starting off. Next scripture. Verse 2. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so, stupid? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask you, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? And that really was the question that was going on there, is they've been saved by grace. And they sort of got that. There's nothing I can do to earn salvation. But for some reason, some people came and said, listen, that's fine, you're saved by grace. But everything else in your life, everything you do, everything you ever will get from God now is a matter of works of the law. And first, you got to go back and do some of the things. And Paul is saying this. Listen, why would you start the race out in grace and then get halfway through the marathon and decide to stop and go back to the beginning of the race and put 120 pounds on your shoulder and start running all over again? That's foolish. Nobody does that. And that's what you're doing when you start out with grace and you understand the power of forgiveness. And then halfway through the race, you say, you know what? I'm going to go back to the beginning and I'm going to overcome this flesh by the things that I do. I'm going to live by the rules and the regulations and the laws of God that it has no longer to do. And you're going back, you're putting this weight upon you. And he goes, let me ask you, is that really what you want to do? Is that really how you want to live your life? Verse 6. So also Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. And Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and he announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Paul is being like a lawyer. He's taking on these people that are Jewish. And he knows how to attack them. Because they're going back to the law of Moses. And he says, you want to go back to the law of Moses and say people have to live by law? I'm going to do one better than you. I'm going back beyond Moses to Abraham. And there's this confusion sometimes, is that all of a sudden they had, is that there was the law, and then there was grace. And so people need to go through and do the law first before they got grace. And he's saying to them, listen, I'm going to show you something, that this promise of grace goes back even farther than the law. It started a long time ago. And the next scripture in verse 10 says this, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. And clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. And that's the trap of living by the law, is that you have to live by the entire law. That's what Paul is saying. There are 613 laws in the Old Testament. We think the Ten Commandments, and if I can just finish it. It's actually 613. And Paul says, do you really want to try to live by all 613? Because the moment you say, yes, that's the way I choose, that's the way I'm going to gain favor with God, the moment you mess up on one, you're done. It's one and done, okay? The moment you mess up on one, the scripture says you've disobeyed all the law. Paul is being very clear that the law is not faith. It's a struggle. When you choose to say, God, I'm going to gain favor by what I do. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be wiser. I'm going to perform and perform. You know what? That's not faith. That's really arrogance. Do you really think that you can do enough to please God? Do you think that you can impress the creator of the cosmos? He's going, you know what? Wow, they got 610 right. That's pretty good. I'm pretty impressed with that. You know, or they made it to the, you know, look at God. Look at the, I'm in the 500s. Aren't you happy with that? And it's unfortunate, but the scripture says you break one law, you break all the laws. And the moment you do that, the curse is there. And the curse is this, death. The scripture says we live under curse. Not only that, the curse of trying to perform at that level, That's a stress. And so the curse is death, and nothing you can do will ever reverse that once you've broken one of the laws. And so in verse 13, he says this, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise. And he's saying the curse of the law is this, you break one law, you die. But Jesus Christ came to earth. He's the only one ever to live a perfect life that never broke anything. And all of a sudden he went to the pole or the tree and he died for everyone there. And he was cursed. And even is cursed even there by people looking at him. It's, look at you. Who are you? Take yourself down. He goes, I'm cursed because I'm carrying your curse. That's why. And I took on the sins of the world. And he died on the cross to take him away from us. Verse 15. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promise was spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scriptures does not say into seeds, meaning many people, but into your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. In verse 17, what I mean is this, the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depended on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in His grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. And so let me explain this because this is what he's building an argument. These guys have said, listen, the law came. You're Gentile. You've never fulfilled the law. Jesus came as a Messiah to the Jews. You need to become a Jew first. And Paul is saying, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Actually, the promise came first. You think the law came before the promise? Not true. 430 years before the law, God spoke to Abraham, the father of all of Israel. Abraham was the big deal. Moses came along later. Your father, God spoke to him and he saw way far ahead and he said, listen, you will be a blessing to all people and there will be a seed from you that will be a blessing. So the promise that was given, Paul says, was given to Abraham. So in reality, guess what came first? Grace. The promise. The blessing came first. So don't tell me you got to go through the law, because if you really want to take that mentality and that thought pattern, then you better go all the way back to the promise, because that came first. And so he's saying this is being fulfilled and you need to understand this. So when they tell you to go back to the law, it's really not true. Performing to get grace, it's like telling someone you have to quit sinning in order to be forgiven. And they're like, well, if I'm not sinning anymore, then I don't need to be forgiven. You know, it's like going to the doctor and imagine your doctor saying, you know what, before I give you medicine, you need to get well. When you stop being sick, then I'm going to give you the medicine you need. It just doesn't happen. And that's what he's saying, listen, you're messed up. I get it. Grace started. Let me show you grace preceded the law. And Abraham received the promise of grace 430 years before the law. So please understand, you don't have to clean up your act. You don't have to get things right. In fact, the messier you are, the better it is that grace comes to you. Verse 19. Why then, here is a great question. Why was the law given at all? It was added because of the transgressions until the seed, Jesus, to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to the mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come through the law. And Paul knows the argument. He's saying, listen, if all this is true, Paul, that grace preceded the law and then grace came again, why in the world would we even have the law? It doesn't make sense. Or is the law and grace in opposition? Is is the Old Testament God not the New Testament God? Are they in direct opposition? And I know how confusing that can be when you read the Bible, because you can read the Bible and read about the Old Testament God, God the Father, and you go, whew, man, that was intense. That was the law. And then you read the New Testament God, and it's Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I like the New Testament God a lot better than I like the Old Testament God. And there's a sense in us when we read that somehow they're separated, they're different, and we have different responses to, you know what I mean? Either we like total rejection of the Old Testament God and we receive the New Testament God, or somehow we feel like we have this bipolar God and we're in this situation, we have to act or perform, or in this situation, he has grace for us, depending on where we're at and what we're doing. And Paul is confirming, listen, don't you separate this, because that's what these guys are doing. Don't you separate these two guys. They're one. God is always consistent. He's always cohesive. He's never divided. There is always a purpose in what he does and how he does it. And Paul said, there was a reason for the law, and don't think it's in opposition to the grace of Christ. Because if righteousness could come through obedience to one law, don't you think God would have done it that way? Hey, listen, here's the one thing. Do it that way. That way, I don't have to send my son to live and die this gruesome death. So here's the one thing. And he says, there's not one rule. It only comes through Jesus Christ. So what's the point of the law? I'm glad you asked. We're going to answer it. Verse 22. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian. 613 laws were given. And after sin was released in the Garden of Eden, we see several examples of this concept, that when there is no moral code within a society, where there are no regulations and rules within a society, society will tend to go perverted, will go wrong, will go astray. Genesis chapter 6 tells us that the Lord saw how great the wickedness of man, the human race, had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. That's what happens. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I'm going to wipe them from the face of the earth. The human race I've created, and with them the animals and the birds and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I've made him. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And we know the story that God sent the flood, saved Noah's family. But yet, that was before the law. Sin had entered in, the law hadn't come, and all of a sudden all chaos broke loose. Because a society, a government, with no moral code, no regulations and guidelines, will always lean itself that way. Another story is Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that story. It was a city that had in sexual perversion, to a place where God looked at the city and said, you know what? I'm done with this city. It's time to wipe it out. And Abraham actually came and said, God, if I can find 50 righteous people, would you just spare the city? And God, at his mercy, said, yeah. And they kept negotiating down until it was 10 people. You just find me 10 people that are righteous in the city, I won't wipe it out. He couldn't find 10. They had no moral code. They had no law. And so God is saying, listen, here it is, evil has been released, grace will come, but right now there's no moral code, and it's chaos, because that's what happens. So he brought the law in for sinful mankind. In verse 22, it's very interesting, he uses a couple of understandings, and he uses some word pictures to show us why the law came into being. The first was this, that it says, mankind, and the word picture he uses, was put under protective custody until grace came. In other words, sin was released and it was like the mafia. And the law came and put you in a safe house. Because I know what they will do to you, what sin will do to you if we don't keep you protected. So I'm going to give you laws. I'm going to give you guidelines so that sin won't ravage you and take control of you and kill you. That's what the law is for, to put you in this protective custody. And verse 24, he uses the word picture of this. He says, the law is like a guardian, and it really is like a strict nanny. That's the word picture that is used by the scripture. It's like this strict nanny who is put over in charge of you because while your parents are gone, and she's got control, and she works with you, and so she keeps you. So God is saying, listen, sin came into the world, grace hasn't come, so I need to do something to keep you from being devastated as a human race. Because I've seen what's happened when you don't have the law. So the question is this, and it's a legitimate question. Why would God wait so long to reveal grace? Why didn't he just, bam, let's just go right to grace? And I think I have a couple of reasons perhaps why. The devastation of sin had to be fully revealed so that the beauty of forgiveness and grace could be fully appreciated. So we don't understand the power of grace until we really understand the devastation of sin. Luke 7, Jesus is going to a house of a Pharisee by the name of Simon, and he gets to the house. It's a very religious man. And he walks in, and when he gets here, there's this woman of irrepute. I mean, she's just not a great woman. Comes in, and this is a story. And the guy's thinking to himself, doesn't he know who she is? Doesn't he know who this was? She's not good news. And so Jesus says this to the Pharisee because he's not what he's thinking. He says, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but the woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And he's saying, this woman, you're right, she's lived a messed up life and she's been forgiven. And look how grateful she is. It's just overflowing. She understands grace. But people who don't are forgiven little, they don't really get it sometimes. And so the law was there for many to see over and over and over again how devastating sin is. So there would be come a time and a place where we go, that's how powerful grace is. Another case that had to be made is that you could never attain righteousness through your actions. And so we see just example after example after example of even good people in the Old Testament who didn't get it. David, a man after God's own heart, messes up. He can't fulfill the law. You go and look through all the Old Testament and find me one person that didn't mess up at least once. So we have all this period of time where we understand how devastating sin is and how nobody can attain righteousness until grace is revealed. In thousands of years, we have learned no one is righteous, no, not one. Verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. And then we jump over to chapter 4. What am I saying? What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. And he's talking about, he's using the illustration of a will, of a testament, of somebody who's passing down their inheritance to children. And while we were under the law, we were waiting for the inheritance of grace. And we had the guardian of the law until we got to the place at the perfect time, at the perfect place that Jesus would come and the Father would then reveal to us. At that point, we moved from being slaves into being the heirs. We got the riches of everything he owned at that moment when grace came to us. Listen to the power of this. Verse 4, but when the set time had fully come, the perfect time, God knew what age. You know, at 21, he shall get the inheritance, or 25, or whenever that age. God set the perfect time. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he could redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, and the Spirit calls out, Abba, Father, which is a very intimate term. It means daddy. My daddy. It's me going to Japan and Jade going, Jiki. That's what it means. It's just exactly that word picture. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are a child, God has made you also an heir. When that moment came, God displayed his perfect love by sending Jesus Christ, his son, that whoever would believe in him would never die, but have eternal life. This is the whole concept. And Paul's laying this out and saying, why in the world, you foolish, foolish, foolish people, would you not want to buy into this? Why would you want to go any other way? Do you get what was given to you? Do you get you don't have to go through this? That when you came to faith in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, the grace was there. You automatically go, my Father, my Daddy in heaven. And he received you in his arms. That's how powerful it is. Maybe you know the old song says, I fought the law and the law won. I got a new one for you. I fought the law and grace won. That's a good song. And here's the point. I don't throw away the Old Testament because I'm under grace. The Old Testament is a great teaching tool of how devastating sin is. The Old Testament is a great reminder of how powerful grace is. The Old Testament, as even the scripture said here, is a great guardian for my heart. There are many great guidelines and principles found in the Old Testament, because God was guarding them from the devastation of sin, that I can live my life by to help me guide myself. There are scriptures and proverbs that deal with finances that will help you live a life that's healthy. And it's the same thing with my wife or my children. We have understandings and guidelines, and there are things that I can do to create health in my marriage that are wonderful guidelines found in the scriptures, but it doesn't change the status of my marriage. My actions, I'm still married. It doesn't change the status of my children, but they're healthy guidelines. And so to me, the law is a teacher, but that's all it is. It's just a teacher. Grace. Love, forgiveness, eternal life, physical, emotional, spiritual healing, redemption and restoration from the past, growth for the future, the power of the Holy Spirit, everything I have, everything I am, and everything I will be only comes because I have a daddy in heaven who loved me enough to send his son as a sacrifice, and because of that extended me grace when I said yes. Everything comes because of that, and nothing because of what I do. I'm so grateful for grace, because if it depended on me, I'd be in trouble. Right? If it was because of it, you would be in trouble. So because of grace, I've been adopted into sonship, and because of that, I have become the inheritor of everything he did and gave. When you stand with me today, and let's just thank God for his grace. It's so powerful. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you knew thousands upon thousands of years ago when you spoke to Abraham the power of grace. And that one day, that promise that you gave, I would inherit. Because of your son. Your plan is perfect. Your grace is amazing. And today, with open arms, I receive every aspect of it. Not by my works, not by what I've done or what I will do, but because you love me. And it makes me want to cry out, my daddy, my father, I receive everything. Thank you for holding me in your arms. Taking care of me, extending your love to me. Today I receive it. In Jesus' name I pray.
You've been listening to a message from Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. Email any questions to streamschurch@msn.com. The mission of Streams Church is very simple, to lead people into their life calling, a relationship with Jesus Christ that is challenging, growing, and purposeful. For more information about service times, location, or events, go to streamschurch.org.